Testing. 1, 2, 3. Okay, can we get ready for puja? Today we will get Yun Chan, Clifford, Joyce, three more. then Pamasuri and Ratu. Come, six of you, come. Light the candle and the incense. Today we will have a special puja because Sister Joyce and Clifford, they have brought these two Kuan Yin from, I think one of them is from China, Putian, yeah. Then the other one is from Sumer. Oh, lighter is here. So today we're supposed to do a simple puja. Those who want to off garland. Testing. 1, 2, 3. Okay, yeah. Can offer here. Yeah, come. Yeah, go. Sadhu. Sadhu. Who else haven't liked? Song. You like that one? Hai Yuika. Sadhu. Sadhu. Okay, the rest can stand. Then we'll start the offering of the tray. Sadhu. than one of the lamb. Do sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, we'll offer the rest of the item, eh? Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated, then we shall commence the chanting. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, the sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bun Si Si Jia Mo Ni Fo. Namo Bun Si Si Jia Mo Ni Fo. Namo Bun Si Si Jia Mo Ni Fo. Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Pu Sien Pu Sa. Namo Pu Sien Pu Sa. Namo Pu Sien Pu Sa. Namo Pho Pu Sa. Namo Pho Pu Sa. Namo Pho Pu Sa. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipano Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can be seated. Then we'll turn to page one of our chanting book. We'll chant the Vandana. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. 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 Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata ave sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majapamadathana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we are chanting the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarappa dithena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonodang. Ganda sambarayutena dopena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bacana muttamang vanna ganda gono petang etang kasuma santatin pujayami monindasa Siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kasumena nena punnena muttena ca hotu mokhang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bhavang Divase tuno bante paniyang parika pitang anukampang upadaya patigan atumutamang Adivase tuno bante pale parika pitang anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante Bojanang parika pitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang. Now we will request for aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on Sila, Samadhi, and Panya to Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Then sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will now pay respect to Tripitaka. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay, we will offer the rest of the items. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. The connection is something wrong. I don't know what happened. Okay. Okay, tonight we are going to develop some special chanting for Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. Like I explained earlier on to those who arrived earlier, there are two new Kuan Yin in front of the altar. If you are observant, you can see them. They belong to Joyce and Clifton. They have brought it from somewhere. Then they have requested for tonight's special puja, so that we can commemorate Kuan Yin Bodhisattvas and all the great beings' virtue and qualities. So we will sing once the Heart Sutta, followed by the Great Compassionate Sutta. You get ready your chanting book. But before we do that, I think we should invite the devas. So I will recite the invocation to the devas. Okay, turn to page 6. We will chant the invocation. Then only we chant the Heart Sutta, followed by the Sutta mantra. Page 6. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine or teaching of the King of Sage, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakawalesu Atra gacchantu devata สัทธัมมังมุนิราจัสสะสุนันตุสักขโมกขดังธัมมะสะวะนันคาโลอะยังปะทันทะธัมมะสะวะนันคาโลอะยังปะทันทะธัมมะสะวะนันคาโลอะยังปะทันทะนะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะนะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะนะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะอิติปิโสภะคะวะอะระหังสัมมาสัมพุทโธวิจารณสัมปันโนสุขโตโลกวิโุอนุตโรปุริสธัมมสารติสัตตาเทวมนุสานังบุตโตภะคะวะติสวากาโตภะคะวะตาธัมโมสันทิติโกอะคัลลิโกเอหิปัสสิโกโอปานายโกปัจจัตตังดิตาโบวิโนหิติสุปาติปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆอุจุปาติปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆญาญาปาติปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆสามีชิปัติปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆญาติตังจัตตาริปุริสายุกานิอัตตปุริสาปุกาลาเอสาภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆอาโหเนโยปาโหเนโยดักเนโยอัญจาลิกรเนโยอนุตรังปุญญาเกตังโลกาสาธิสาธุสาธุสาธุOkay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Padang Pujami Damang Pujami Sanghang Pujami. Okay, there's one more offering, huh? I think.Sister Joyce has reserved this for Sister Mimi, huh? So Sister Mimi, you can come, huh? Offer this garland to the Kuan Yin, the new Kuan Yin that Joyce and Clifford has brought. Yeah. Ah. We are going to do a special puja too. Sadhu, sadhu.Sadhu. Then, for those who are observant, you will know the two Kuan Yin, they came with different height, but because I got a support, a stool, which is just nice, so now both level. Then you look at this particular standing, the smaller Kuan Yin, there is some similarity with our cover page for our Bodhisattva way, cultivating the Bodhisattva way. this one slant this way, ours slant the other way. Yeah. But the feature is almost the same. Huh? So we would like to really rejoice in all this wholesomeness. Then it came about because of condition too. A jack is very nice. The one that carved it did it very well. So now we will commence our Heart Sutta chanting. Which one you want to start first? Compassionate mantra or Heart Sutta? Mantra first, huh? Okay. Song, where's song? Come. You and Padmasri help to lead, huh? Come. Never mind, I just use this to start.
Shana 是那阿赖僧佛赖舍利法沙法身佛赖舍耶呼噜呼噜摩赖呼噜呼噜悉利娑赖娑赖悉利悉利苏噜苏噜菩提耶菩提耶菩陀耶菩陀耶弥地利耶那赖谨墀地利舍尼那婆耶摩那萨婆诃悉哆耶萨婆诃摩诃悉哆耶萨婆诃悉哆喻因是般来耶萨婆诃那赖谨墀萨婆诃摩赖那赖萨婆诃悉赖僧阿穆揭耶萨婆诃萨婆摩诃阿悉哆耶萨婆诃遮吉赖阿悉哆耶萨婆诃婆陀摩揭悉哆耶萨婆诃那赖谨墀盘揭赖耶萨婆诃摩婆利僧揭赖耶萨婆诃南无阿合赖耽那多赖耶耶南无阿利耶婆卢揭谛娑盘赖耶萨婆诃安悉殿多曼多赖跋多耶萨婆诃揭谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧揭谛菩提萨婆诃揭谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧揭谛菩提萨婆诃揭谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧揭谛菩提萨婆诃观自在菩萨行深般若波罗蜜多时照见五蕴皆空度一切苦厄舍利子色不异空空不异色色即是空空即是色受想行识亦复如是舍利子是诸法空相不生不灭不垢不净不增不减是故空中无色无受想行识无眼耳鼻舌身意无色声香味触法无眼界乃至无意识界无明亦无明尽乃至无老死亦无老死尽 无苦集灭道，无智义，无得已，无所得故，菩提萨埵依般若波罗蜜多故，心无挂碍，无挂碍故，无有恐怖，远离颠倒梦想，究竟涅槃三世诸佛依般若波罗蜜多故，得阿耨多罗三藐三菩提故，知般若波罗蜜多十大神咒，十大明咒，十无上咒，十无等等咒，能除一切苦，真实不虚。故说般若波罗蜜多咒，即说咒曰：揭谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧，揭谛菩提萨婆诃。揭谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧，揭谛菩提萨婆诃。揭谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧，揭谛菩提萨婆诃。
We shall pay respect to Tripa Japa. Budang Pujemi. Damang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, you can be seated. We are off the light, then you can have 20 minutes of meditation. For those who already know how to meditate, you can start away, straight away start your meditation. For those who still need to train your mind, you can go ahead. Then for those who already know how to meditate, always remember the four support. Relax into every mind state that arises. The first support. The second support is just maintain silent or awareness within. The mind that has got no arising, no thought, no aggregate of mind is the silent mind. That is the meditative mind. So you just relax into every mind state. Then you will be able to realize that silent mind, the true mind. Whatever thought that arises, heedless thinking that arises, just let it be. Do not resist it. Do not suppress it. Don't do anything. Just relax, aware. Then sustain the awareness, that silent, for as long as you can. When it stabilizes, you will understand many things. The sati is the meditative mind. So those who have object of meditation, you have developed the training of your mind, you are now stabilizing the sati, you can also develop the understanding. As you train, you just relax into it. Every mind state that arises, relax into it. If energy build up, relax into it. Just let it be. Maintain the quietness, the peacefulness, the silent. Don't try to know. Don't try to arise the thought. You just maintain the relaxed state of awareness. Then let the object of meditation develop. If you are using anapanasati, then let the breath breathe in, and breathe out naturally. You just maintain awareness of the in and out breath. The breathing will slow down on its own until finally the breathing like very subtle, very still, little or no more movement. Then you have developed your training quite well. It means your mind is entering sati. So you continue to relax into it, silent, and maintain awareness for as long as you can. Then finally, even when the breathing like no more, because it has become so subtle until you can't really perceive it, don't go and do sitting, touching, or any other thing. Just relax and silent, and stay with the breathing. Even very subtle, you just stay there. Then not long after your mind enters sati without doing anything, the subtle breathing will become clear to you again. Your more refined sati will arise. When that happens, means your mind is already in sati. And this is the meditative mind. You have to stabilize this until it becomes very stable. Then when you come out of the meditation, you will be very surprised. Everything that you come to perceive is like magnified. Even while you are in the formal posture, all the very little subtle or little movement is like magnified, and you are fully aware. Then when you come out of it, the maintenance of that mindfulness is still there. All your action and movement like magnify, and it's like your awareness and the movement has become one. So continue to make use of that ability to do your daily activity and movement. That as you are skillful, as you develop more and more skillful approach to maintain this state of awareness or mindfulness in the midst of life and activity, your daily mindfulness will improve. You will be able to have this mindfulness in the midst of life. Then you are like aware even in activity, in action, while you live life. So you don't have to be like in the formal meditation or in a retreat, only you are mindful, you are heedful. Your mindfulness and heedfulness has transformed because your mind has entered sati. Then every moment of seeing, every moment of hearing, smell, taste, tactile or thought process, that mindfulness is there. That's how you develop the meditation. Okay, I'll leave it to you to train your mind. I will off the mic. Then I will ring the bell after about 10 minutes. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Yeah? Then try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed. You have to make use of the stability of mindfulness together with the spiritual faculty to train your mind to develop the ability to be mindful in the midst of life. The Buddha called it heedfulness. Mm. Heedfulness is a combination of stability of mindfulness to use it to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is Noble Eightfold Path. So you can stabilize your mindfulness until you can be mindful, ever mindful in the midst of life. Then use that ever mindfulness mind that is trained to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. The first turning, second turning, and third turning, giving rise to the three types of corresponding wisdom that can arise from the three types of training. Okay, now we will continue with the Buddha and his teaching. Now we are at chapter 5, yeah, page 57. Then tonight we are indeed fortunate to have Sister Yun Chan to lead us on chapter 5. So I will pass the mic to Sister Yun Chan. Then we can have a good Dhamma discussion after that. Come, Yun Chan. You want to sit? You can. I sit there.
Hi, classmates. Okay, I'll tell you what my understanding after reading that this chapter 5. This is chapter 5. and this is just my understanding of it. Okay, this is after the 49 days of enlightenment bliss that Buddha went through. So, after these 49 days, he started to contemplate on whether he should teach this Dhamma. This Dhamma is very difficult for a lot of people to understand. It's like, you know, the duality, you know, you are very happy, and yet when you are very happy, it can be opposite as well. When you don't have the happiness, yeah, opposite. It's not easy to understand anatta. I think it's quite tough. So we have to thank Brother Teo for explaining to us for so many years to understand this Dhamma. So he thought about it, and he thought, well, very difficult. And if we try to teach, and he will get very exasperated, very unfulfilled if there are lots of people who don't understand now. It's very difficult. So apparently there's this Brahma called Sahampati who read his thoughts, and then he came and asked him, pleaded with him to teach. He said, this Dharma, you have already enlightened and realized the Dharma, you should teach the Dharma to the people. So he thought about it. Then while he was still thinking about it, Deva went and told their relatives to their two merchants who are his relatives, go and offer food and take refuge with Buddha. So they came along and they offered. Now he didn't eat for 49 days fasting, so wow, this is his first meal after 49 days. They gave him some honeycomb and for him to eat, and then they took refuge. That means his refuge is just the refuge with the Buddha. There's no Dhamma and no Sangha, no Sangha. So it's a refuge with the Buddha. So they took refuge, and then they are quite happy. Mm-hmm. And then he went off. And the Buddha continued still thinking about whether to propagate the Dharma or not. And again, the Brahma Sahampati came and said, pleaded with him to continue to teach the Dharma. So he was thinking, who can he teach? He said, teach people with little dust in there, with little dust. So, brother, what is little dust?
You all can discuss this. Because this Brahma is very smart. Brahma Sahampati, he knew the Buddha was reluctant to teach because what he has realized was way beyond the normal living being's comprehension and understanding. Yeah. So there is a part in your text which I will read to you. Then you will understand. Okay. Turn to page. That is on page 60, I think. Page 60. The invitation to expound the Dhamma. This part is very important, like Yun Chan mentioned. From the foot of Rajayatana tree, the Buddha proceeded to Ajapala Bayan tree. And as he was absorbed in solitary meditation, the following thought occurred to him. This Dhamma which I had realized is indeed profound, difficult to perceive, difficult to comprehend, tranquil, exalted, not within the sphere of logic. See? Remember, every time I share with you, whatever that is logical, is not always the
truth.
Not always the truth. So now you know. Yeah? So the Buddha also knew, difficult to comprehend, because tranquil, exalted, not within the sphere of logic. That's like nothing to do with logic. Whatever that appear logical according to mundane understanding is never the truth. Then subtle, very subtle, and is to be understood only by the wise. So how can you understand unless you have awakened? These beings are attached to material pleasure, like Yun Chan described, to the duality. This causally connected dependent arising is a subject which is very difficult to comprehend. So he's talking about the dwelling, dependent origination, how you function as a human being, your mind. That apart from that, everything in this universe, the phenomenal world, they are all the same. They exhibit the same universal characteristic. And this Nibbana, which is the cessation of the condition, see? That's why it's the unconditioned. The abandoning of all craving or passion, the destruction of craving, the non-attachment, and the cessation is also a matter not easily comprehensible. If I too were to teach this Dhamma, the others would not understand me. Now you understand why he didn't want to teach. And also, if you may recall my sharing, after 1989, this nature understood the teaching. But then it didn't do anything for the next 15 years until 2004, when Yun Chan came along to invite me. That's why those who gone through, they will know. How can you share such a teaching? Like I used to share with Yun Chan and you all. What I understood is completely opposite of what has been practiced or taught within the Buddhist fraternity or Buddhist tradition. So it was not easy. But nevertheless, because of condition, this nature agreed to come out. And there is a reason for it. That's why when you understand condition, you will come to know things that are meant to be. Will be here. Then I read on so that you can come to the part on little dust where Yun Chan was asking. That will be wearisome to me. That will be tiresome to me, even to the Buddha. You see, when living being cannot understand, to explain to them is more verism and more tiresome. Then he went on. Then this wonderful verse, unheard of before, occurred to the Buddha. With difficulty have I comprehended this Dhamma. There is no need to proclaim it now. See? He finally made this decision. This Dhamma is not easily understood by those who are dominated by lust and hatred. The lust ridden, shrouded in darkness, do not see this Dhamma, which goes against the stream, which is abstruse, profound, difficult to perceive, and subtle. As the Buddha reflected thus, he was not disposed to expound the Dhamma. Thereupon, Brahma Sahampati, this is the Brahma, read the thought of the Buddha, and fearing that the world might perish through not hearing the Dhamma, approached him and invited him to teach the Dhamma thus. He said to the Buddha, O Lord, may the Exalted One expound the Dhamma. May the Accomplished One expound the Dhamma. There are beings with little dust in their eyes, who not hearing the Dhamma will fall away. There will be those who understand the Dhamma. Then furthermore, he remarked, in ancient time there arose in Magadha, a Dhamma impure, thought out by the corrupted. Open this door to the deathless. May they hear the Dhamma.
The battery is gone, so I got to take the mic. May they hear the Dhamma understood by the stainless one. Just as one standing on the summit of a rocky mountain would behold the people around, even so, may the all-seeing wise one ascend this palace of Dhamma. May the sorrowless one look upon the people who are plunged in grief and are overcome by birth and death. Rise, O hero, victor in battle, caravan leader, debt-free one, and wonder in the world. May the Exalted One teach the Dhamma. There will be those who will understand the Dhamma. When he said so, the Exalted One spoke to him thus. The following thought, O Brahma, occurred to me. This Dhamma which I had comprehended is not easy to understand for those who are dominated by lust and hatred. The lust-ridden, shrouded in darkness, do not see this Dhamma, which goes against the stream, which is abstruse, profound, difficult to perceive, and subtle. As I reflect the task, my mind turned into inaction, and not to the teaching of the Dhamma. Then Brahma Sahampati appealed again to the Buddha for the second time, and he made the same reply. When he appealed to the Buddha for the third time, the Exalted One, out of pity for being surveyed the world for his Buddha, with his Buddha vision. See, the unique thing about requests is every time, ask three times. Even Yu Chan asked three times, I also say no. But after that, I call her back. Because the nature understood. It can be done because out of love and compassion, I do not want to arise unnecessary condition for karmic negativity to arise from people who don't understand. Because at that time, my nature knew what I share, if I truly share, would be completely opposite of what the world understands. And for people who don't have the understanding through delusion, through their karmic negativity, my nature didn't do anything. Very severe karmic thing can happen. That's why it reluctant to come out. Then after Yun Chan went back, what happened was there were conditions and the nature suddenly say this very clearly to me. Hey, it's about time for you to come out. You have rested long enough, is it? Then he said, you can set conditions.
so that you can avoid all this. That's the reason why I set the three conditions, and I call it Dhamma discussion, not a one-way traffic talk and all those things. Then no right, no wrong, so that we don't argue. Then make use of whatever that is conducive, beneficial, and cultivate. So these are the three conditions which arose. That's why after that I call back Yun Chan. I say, if this is agreeable, then I can come out and share. And we call it Dhamma discussion after that. Initially it was about general topic, I remember, the tsunami, the year 2004, the great, what they call, tsunami that happened in Asia. I think it triggered off in Sumatra area. Then it reached a lot of places. So coming back to this question of little dust, I will now try to explain to you so that you can understand. You see, like you have heard from what the Buddha explained, this Dhamma which he has come to realize is completely against the stream. It is even not within the sphere of logic. So you ask yourself, how can ordinary being understand? You will think that guy is crazy, telling you everything impermanent, not real. He know you, he know me. Then later on, no one born, no one die, no one sick. I tell you, nobody is going to believe you. People will think you are crazy. Then you say everything is not what you think, empty, not real. He will be very confused. Then this form of mind is not you. So how are you going to take all this? That's why Sahampati has to appeal to the Buddha, because he knew if the Buddha don't come out and share, what happened is there are corrupt teachers who teach the false Dhamma. And the world has already deteriorated so badly. That's why he insists. Then he said there are beings with little dust in their eye who can understand your teaching. This refer to beings that are not so deluded, understand not? If you are deluded means what? You got a lot of delusion in there. And delusion is defilement in there. And defilement is from the poem you heard, Sun Xiu's poem. What is defilement? He said, polish until it shines so that no dust can alight. That's why dust refers to defilement. So when you have dust in your eye, you can't see, true or not. But this one is referring to delusion, defilement. So according to Sahampati, Brahma Sahampati, he knew. He himself up there also had the psychic. That's why he can read the Buddha's mind. Then he said, there are some who can understand you, those with little dust on their eyes. Means these are cultivators who has come to this world to take birth during the Buddha's asana so that they can gain enlightenment in the here and the now. Because without the Buddha, there is no teaching. And without the Buddha, there is no sasana. So that is the reason why during the sasana there are a lot of beings with little dust who can understand. And this is being shown later on when he came out to teach. We haven't finished. Just now he said he used his special ability after he gained enlightenment to survey the world. To find who are the ones with little dust that he can teach. The first thought that came to him was the two teachers that taught him. Remember? Alara and Udaka. You know what happened to them or not? Yun Chan continue maybe. Okay. I'll let you continue from there,
He thought of his teachers, and the first teacher he checked, he died 1 week ago. So he thought the second teacher, and the second teacher died the night before. So he can't teach his teachers. So he thought of these five ascetics, these five people who are following him. they were supporting him earlier on, and they left him when he started taking food. So they thought he has gone back to his princely life and enjoying a luxurious life, so they all want to follow him. So anyway, he thought he will walk all the way from Bodh Gaya to the deer park. And that is, I think, 100 miles. 100 km, 100 miles. So, wow, it's a long walk. So he walked, and it took him 11 to 12 days, you know, to get to this place. So as he was walking along towards to look for them, there was an ascetic called Upaka. He passed by and saw that he was so bright. Serene, bright, and so special. I think his aura was so good. So he asked, hey, how come you so so bright and clear? Who is your teacher? Then he said he has got no teacher. He has got, he picked everything, he learned everything himself. So this ascetic thinks that he's got very big ego. So he just said, didn't want to offer, didn't want to do ask anymore, and then he went off.
Yeah, he just walked away.
So we make aspiration to meet the next Buddha. You also must make aspiration that you will be able to recognize he's a Buddha and pay respect to him and get him to teach you. Okay, so this poor guy, he couldn't sing. So he continued to get to the park, the deer park. So the five ascetics were still practicing there. And when they saw him, they told one another, they are not going to support him. This person has been leading a life of luxury, and now he comes back here. So they said, I will not take his bowl and not take his robe for him. They used to support him and help him. So he said, maybe they asked him to sit down, that's all, give him a seat. So when he went over to see them, his aura was so great, and they look at him and they just gave him the seat. They took away, they left him, let him have a bowl, take his bowl. Oh, I forgot. When the two merchants went to give him food, he has got no bowl. No, the angels from above quickly got a few bowls for him. No, that's how the monks will use a bowl to eat. You know, given by the devas. You know, give. So he took the food, put the food in for him to eat. So he was carrying his bowl, and they. Took his bowl and took his robe. He sat down, but they still questioned him. Now there he has gone off and become a luxurious, changed his lifestyle. So he explained that he wasn't doing that. He continued to practice on his own. I think also three times. He explained to them, they didn't accept it. Then he explained again, they didn't accept it. He explained a third time, they still didn't accept it. Then he went and asked them, have I spoken to you in this way before? Then they said, yeah. He didn't say, let me explain and tell you the truth. And we follow the middle path. We don't go for extremities. It's neither too extravagant or too... And that's how he started the...
avoid the two extremes. Huh? One is sensual indulgence. The other one is self-mortification. He said, if you do this, you will not be able to gain enlightenment.
And these five ascetics, I forgot to write down, Asaji was the one who helped enlighten Sariputta. Then you have Badiya, Mahanama. There are five of them. I can't remember all already. So these are the five ascetics. Okay, this is the end of chapter 5. Pass back to Brother Seo.
Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yu Chen has prepared, done well. Good, thank you. I need to change the battery. Just give me a minute.
No, I don't know that.
Testing. 1, 2, 3. Huh? Very good. Okay, I pass this to you. The wireless mic.
Okay, just now I think was not recorded. Yun Chan was asking this question. So, Brother Teo, is it Huining, the six spirit has little dust in it? So I answered, no, he has no dust because he was born without the mundane mind. So that's why he no need explanation. He just need the truth. You understand? Those who got no dust, they just need the truth. The moment they hear truth, they awaken. They don't even need explanation, I tell you. Yeah. That is the power of cultivation that you have inherited from the past. That's why different beings, when you come, you are different. And every being has their own karmic conditioning. Then if you have your own parami, your own cultivation, your own past perfection, when you come to this world through another form of mind, you can be very different. It depends. That's the reason why if you reflect on what the Buddha said, if you want to know who you are, you have to understand the five daily contemplation, the last one. The Buddha keep on emphasizing on the importance of this understanding, the fifth daily contemplation. We are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So if that is the case, if you want to know who you are in your past, what must you do? If you want to know who you are in your past, this is not seeing past life at all. If you want to understand what have you been doing in the past, what must you do? Cannot understand? Louder. Use the mic. Oh, that one is meditation. I say, based on the fifth contemplation, based on what the Buddha has told you, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, condition supported by your karma. You are what you are because of your karma. So if you want to know what you have been doing in the past, what must you do?
See how you, what you are facing now.
Very good, sadhu. You can understand. Because you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma. So if you look at what you are now, you will know what are the karma you have. Do you understand? That's why if you want to understand who are you in the past or what have you been doing in the past, you look at your life now. What are you going through? If you have a lot of suffering, a lot of misery, a lot of negativity or karmic friction, then you know in the past you not only have a lot of dust, you are heedless. You never cultivated. But if you look at your life, you have relatively good life, relatively quite blessed, except on certain occasion, maybe things does not go your way for a while. Then, off and on, you can still have happiness in life, less and less of this affliction. Means you have developed some form of good understanding of life before. Means you have followed the correct practice or cultivation. So looking at how your life is now will allow you to understand what you have been doing in the past. So if you find that you have a lot of situation that can bring about affliction, suffering and misery, then like a lot of things never go your way, then you better reflect, contemplate, and do something about it. Because this is due to your past karmic conditioning. Because you are born of it, heir to it, and you are conditioned and supported by it every moment, every instant. And your condition, this life, you are what you are because of your karma.
So if you need to ask for forgiveness, repent, you have to do. Then from now onward, if you want to change your life destiny, you have to understand the Buddha Dhamma, then follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify your mind. So that is the first part. Eh? You want to know who you are in the past, you look at your life now. If you want to know how your future is going to be like, your future coming is going to be like, where do you look? And no, I think. Pass the mic to Anne. Anne can answer. Just now you put your hand like that means you know. Yeah. Push all the way out. Yes. Yeah.
We should look for this life what we have done.
Yes, very good. Because if you want to know how your future is going to be like, you must look at what you are doing now onward, moment to moment. After you have understood this teaching, if you want to change your life destiny, introduce good future condition for your future life to have beautiful condition, you must follow the advice of the Buddha. Means take care of karma. Do you understand? And how do we take care of karma? Follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. And that is what the teaching is all about. So to do that, you have to understand what constitutes evil. Why did the Buddha say we have to start with precepts? You reflect, we contemplate. Who are the people who violate precepts? These are people with the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. And when you violate your precept, you cause your karmic downfall. And when your karmic nature falls, because you are born of it, had to it conditioned and supported by it, and you are what you are because of that karmic nature, your future will be affected by what you do now. So that's why you need to be heedful. You need to have this understanding not to fall anymore. You have to really diligently, sincerely strive on with heedfulness to take care of karma, to cultivate the understanding of this teaching so that your karmic nature is beautiful. You will not fall again. Okay? So these two aspects of life you have to understand. I remember the Mahayana and I used to stress this. I used to hear from Master Sun Hua a lot. He always say this, but I cannot remember the Mandarin words that he used. He described it very well. Okay? So this is the part that you have to develop understanding. So now I will go through the text with you so that at least you can understand it better. We should thank Yun Chan for giving us a very good sharing. She didn't even have to refer to the book. Straight away, he can go into it. And this one been, I think, her first time. Yun-chan, first time you do it? This type of sharing, first time? You did before? Yeah, la, you come out and share before. Oh, you come out before. Good. Means you have some practice before. No wonder she can do it quite well. So anyway, this is very good training. Because after you start to try and develop this ability to express what you have learned, whether you can express it out clearly or not, depend on your stability of understanding. That's why you will come to know when you are out here, a lot of the things that you think you know cannot come out. And you try to use memory to speak, the flow is not smooth. You will learn all this. You will learn all this. Then later on when your mind transforms, you realize you want to memorize also you cannot memorize. But this one up here becomes different. It's so sensitive.
all of memory accumulation is suffering. You can see it. Yeah. I remember that time, 1989. After that, I decided to resign from my comfortable statutory government job. I was a super skilled Division 1 officer. Yeah. I got promoted very fast. Normally, it takes people 7 years minimum to be promoted to super skill. I was put on acting after 3 years. Yeah. Then I had a very good and secure government job. But then, my nature want to come out into society to test, to find out how this mind is going to be like when it's in the midst of society. That's why I joined the private sector. I joined the consulting firm. Yeah. I just want to find out how this mind is going to behave when I go into the job market, which is the private sector that has a lot of work, a lot of things to do, and very challenging. Because when I was with the government, the statutory body, because I was so familiar with the work, I standardized everything. And most of the thing is already standardized and doesn't really need my attention. I only need to be around when I take care of development job. Yeah. All the maintenance aspect, which is the bulk of the work, is all standardized and the system is already there. They only refer to me for final authority and approval and all those things. And it's a very big job scope that time. Before I joined, my boss used to tell me, he said, "Tio, you know what you are going into or not?" I say, "I think I know." He said, "This is a madhouse," he said. 10 engineers also not enough. Yeah, you got a lot of work. But finally, alone, I did it up. And I turned it around and make it so beautiful. Then when I came onto the private sector, that's how I come to know. I can't even read letters of contract. Yeah, the mind is so different. The nature like tell you, you want to suffer? Go ahead and read. Because you can feel it. The moment of perception, the moment of accumulation, trying to remember, is suffering. The very fine suffering is all there. There's a Sankara Anichang, Sankara Dukkang, very clear one. That's why I used to tell you all the characteristics of nature, impermanent, suffering state, and non-self or empty nature, Anichang, Dukkang, Anatta. They are everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. And because of that, my nature has to learn all this. Yeah. I told you, after the Monday mind collapse, the Supra Monday mind collapse, I have to learn to use this mind. Then I have to learn to live with it without memorizing anything. Then I start to write down pointers and notes. Because sometimes the date, because we are involved with engineering project contracts, we have to have meetings to decide on the extension of time, date of completion, and all those things. And when was the instruction given, all this. So all these are in the file. Yeah. But then because I'm very experienced, I know where to look for it. Then I just write down in a summarized form. And then with that sheet of paper, I go for meeting. Then I know what to do. Then I didn't read. Yeah. I didn't read. I only read when I'm forced to read to understand the points and the date. Yeah. The certain aspect of the contract and all those things. Whereas design everything, I already very familiar. I don't have to refer to anything. Then condition of contract also, I very familiar. I don't have to read out anything. So I can then speak on behalf of my company and make the decision, all those things. So for those who have the understanding, what I want to share with you, as you come out to share, you will learn. You will see how you function as a human being. Initially as a puttijana, the former mind. Then you see how you get yourself entangled and work out. Then how a lot of these are still knowledge. Because when it's still knowledge, you try to recall from memory. And when you recall from memory, you will come to realize one very important thing. You cannot present it smoothly. Yeah. Then sometimes the word cannot come out. Yeah? You depend on memory. Yeah. Unless you got elephant memory. Then you can like the monk chant and rattle out. But that one is chanting, that's not easier. But if I ask you to read a chapter or a topic, then without the book, ask you to share, it's not easy. Yeah? So that aspect, I hope you all make a note of it. Yeah? Then now we turn to page 57. Okay, I start from page 57. He who... Okay, the title is Invitation to Expound the Dhamma. Then they got a Dhammapada verse. He who imbibes the Dhamma abides in happiness with mind pacified. The wise man ever delights in the Dhamma revealed by the Aryas. Aryas are the enlightened one. Yeah? So if you want to know the benefits of enlightenment, this Dhammapada verse is very good. This word imbibes, is it pronounced as imbibes? Yeah? I-M-B-I-B-E-S. Is it pronounced as imbibes? Imbibes, is it emerge in? Is the meaning emerge in? Soak in Dhamma. He who imbibes the Dhamma. What? Imbibes? Oh, thank you for the pronunciation. What is the meaning, Chui? Imbibes the Dhamma. Dwell in the Dhamma. Okay. So I thought immerse in or soak in the Dhamma. Okay, dwell in the Dhamma is a better word. Imbibes. Imbibe. So he who imbibes the Dhamma means dwell in the Dhamma. Abides in happiness with mind pacified. Pacified means not only calm, not only have clarity, but tame, under control. This mind will not be heedless anymore. So that is the genuine benefit. You will have clarity, you will have joy, you will have pity. Then it has a lot of happiness. You always abide in happiness with mind pacified. The wise man ever delights in the Dhamma revealed by the Aryas. The Aryas are the enlightened being. So this is the beauty of enlightenment. Ever delights in Dhamma. Have you experienced that? Some of you may have. Yeah, you find the Dhamma so interesting, so beautiful. How many of you have that experience? Yeah? You have so much joy in life because you come to realize that this Dhamma is so beautiful. Yeah? So this is, the wise man ever delights in the Dhamma revealed by the enlightened one. Huh? Nobody put out the hand. Nobody delight in Dhamma before. Cannot be. I saw a few hands. If you cannot delight in Dhamma, means you have not been practicing correctly or cultivating correctly. Because this Dhamma is so beautiful. Yeah. When I was young, I liked to read the Dhammapada verse. And all these Dhammapada verses stand out so well. And I really had a lot of joy. How many of you really read the Dhammapada verses? Apart from the few that I share, you should go and read. There are many of these verses that are so beautiful. There is one on the Iltesh roof. How many of you heard of this? Like an Iltesh roof. When it rained, what happened? You didn't really do up your roof properly. Very haphazard, heedlessly done. Iltesh roof. When it rained, what happened? The rain comes through. wet everywhere, then you have to bring container here and container there. Then your whole house get disrupted. Your furniture, your things all get wet and all this thing. Then you will have problem. Then the opposite twin verse is a well-thatched roof. So if your mind is not trained, you don't have the wisdom and the understanding, you are like an ill-thatched roof. Every time you got problem. Especially when there is rain or when the weather is not so good. Ill-thatched, if the wind comes, you can also get blown off. Then you don't have a shelter over your head and all this thing. Okay, then we move on. We move on to the Dhamma as the teacher. On one occasion, soon after the enlightenment, the Buddha was dwelling at the foot of Ajapala Bayan tree by the river of Naranjara River. By the bank of the Naranjara River. As he was engaged in solitary meditation, the following thought arose in his mind. Painful indeed is... How come the word on that? Painful indeed is it. Oh, correct. To live without someone to pay reverence and show deference. How if I should live near an ascetic or Brahmin, respecting and reverencing him? Then it occurred to him, should I live near an ascetic or Brahmin, respecting and reverencing him in order to bring morality, silakanda, to perfection? But I do not see in the world, including gods, maras and brahmins, and among beings, including ascetic, brahmins, gods and men, another ascetic or Brahmin, who is superior to me in morality, and with whom could I associate, respecting and reverencing him? Shall I live near another ascetic or Brahmin, respecting and reverencing him, in order to bring samadhi to perfection? But I do not see in this world any ascetic or Brahmin who is superior to me in samadhi, and with whom I shall associate, respecting and reverencing. Then, coming to wisdom, also same. Should I live near another ascetic or Brahmin, respecting and reverencing him, in order to bring wisdom to perfection? But I do not see in this world any ascetic or Brahmin who is superior to me in wisdom, and with whom I should associate, respecting and reverencing him. Then he continued, should I live near another ascetic or Brahmin, respecting and reverencing him in order to bring about emancipation or liberation of my enlightenment, vimutti kanda, to perfection? But I do not see in this world any ascetic or Brahmin who is superior to me in emancipation, and with whom I should associate, respecting and reverencing. Then it occurred to him, how if I should live respecting and reverencing this very Dhamma which I myself have realized? That is his final understanding. Thereupon, Brahma Sahampadi, understanding with his own mind the Buddha's thought, just as a strong man would stretch his bent up or bend his stretched arm, even so did he vanish from the Brahma realm and appear before the Buddha. And covering one shoulder with his upper robe, and placing his right knee on the ground, he saluted the Buddha with clasped hand, and then said, it is so, O exalted one, it is so, O accomplished one, O Lord, the worthy, supremely enlightened one, who in the past did live respecting and reverencing this very Dhamma. The worthy, supreme, enlightened ones who will be in the future will also live respecting and reverencing this very Dhamma. O Lord, may the exalted one, the worthy, supremely enlightened one, and of the present age,
also live respecting and reverencing this very Dhamma. This is Brahma Sahampati said, and uttering which furthermore he spoke as follows. Those enlightened ones of the past, those of the future, and those of the present age who dispel the grief of many, all of them live with will live and are living respecting the noble Dhamma. This is the characteristics of all Buddhas. Thereupon he who desire his welfare and expect his greatness should certainly respect the noble Dhamma, remembering the message of the Buddhas. This the Brahma Sahampati said, and after which he respectfully saluted the Buddha and passed around him in the right, disappearing immediately. As the Sangha is also endowed with greatness, there is also his reverence towards the Sangha. Then after that, we have finished this part, the invitation to expound the Dhamma. So we will skip page 60-61. Ken? Sahampati, yes. Presumably so. Yeah. Where's the mic? Pass the mic on so that it can be recorded. Yeah, Chui, you are right. Pass the mic to Chui. Yeah.
Thanks for confirming. Brahma Sahampati is indeed an enlightened, an Arya, although I don't know whether you can say he's an enlightened one in this case.
I use the word most likely. Most likely, because he is in the robe also. Be born in the pure air but the Brahma Rai, you are at least an anagami.
And the thing is, he understood the importance of the Dharma as opposed to reverencing another being.
Yes.
For the morality.
Yes, and he also knew all Buddhas of the past, present and future will respect the Dhamma. Very good. Thank you so much. That is a very good point. That's why even though it was not mentioned in the text whether this Brahma Sahampati was an Arya or not, but I suspect so. Otherwise, he cannot understand so many things. And the other thing is, like Chui say, he can recognize the Buddha when he is in the Brahma Rai. Means he has the understanding. And many great beings up there, according to Mahayana Sutta, they already rejoicing because they knew he is coming. Understand? Pass the mic to Chui. Let Chui give
it. Curiosity kills the cat. You talk about someone being in a Brahma rhyme.
Realm.
Does that mean that he lives in the four Brahma Viharas? Is that to say that
it is correct in saying that? Yes, Brahma Rai, for you to take birth there, you must have these four Brahma Vihara cultivated, very stable. Correct, yes. Okay, we read on. I think we are at page 62. Oh, we finished 62. We were at after the third time, bottom last paragraph of page 62. As he surveyed us, he saw beings with litter and much dust in their eye, with keen and dull intellect, with good and bad characteristics. Beings who are easy and beings who are difficult to be taught, and few others who with fear view evil and a life beyond. As in the case of a blue, red and white lotus pond, some lotus are born in the water, grow in the water, remain immersed in the water, and thrive, plunge in the water. Some are born in the water, grew in the water, and remain on the surface of the water. Some others are born in the water, grew in the water, and remain emerging out of the water, unstained by the water. Even so, as the exalted one surveyed the world with his Buddha vision, he saw beings with little and much dust in their eye, with keen and dull intellect, with good and bad characteristics, beings who are busy and difficult to be taught, and few others who with fear view evil and a life beyond. And he addressed the Brahma Sahampati in the verse thus: open to them are the door of the deathless state. Let those who have ear repose confidence. Being aware of the weariness, O Brahma, I did not teach among men this glorious and excellent Dhamma. The delighted Brahma, thinking that he make himself the occasion for the exalted one to expound the Dhamma, respectfully saluted him, and passing round him to the right, disappeared immediately. So that was how Brahma Sahampati managed to convince the Buddha to survey the world and look for beings with little dust. Then the next part is the first two convert. This one I think Yun Chan already explained, the two merchants. After his memorable fasting for 49 days, as the Buddha sat underneath the Rajayatana tree, two merchants, Tapasu and Balika from Ukala, happened to pass that way. Then a certain dainty who was a blood relative of theirs in a past birth spoke to them as follow. See, you got good friend. If they become deva, they can help you. Just like this case. He said, the exalted one, good sir, is dwelling at the foot of the Rajayatana tree. Soon after his enlightenment, go and serve the exalted one with flour and honeycomb. It will conduce to your well-being and happiness for a long time. See, if you are the first to offer to an enlightened being after his enlightenment, especially the Sammasambuddha, the field of merit is immeasurable. It is really a very rare condition for you to have such condition to do such meritorious action. Availing themselves of this golden opportunity, that's why it's called golden opportunity.
You are merits better or that those two merchants?
Sujata?
She gave the rice milk
enlightenment. You meant the Sujata that offered the milk rice. Both also very powerful. No, Sujata is not an arahant. Sujata make the aspiration. No, ordinary lady. later maybe, but when he offered, he was not. He was just a very noble lady from a noble family. But he has this very strong aspiration made in the past. Because it was made in the past, that aspiration continue until that life. That's why she will remember. And the reason why Sakyamuni Buddha got to wait for 6 years to become enlightened, one of the reasons is he has to wait for Sujata to offer that milk rice. But this is what people's aspiration is all about, adhittana. When it's made with such sincerity, faith and understanding, it will take effect. So that is the reason why Sujata and these two merchants must have also made some aspiration. Then the relative, very good, immediately go and tell them, why don't you ask me the question, why don't the deva do it himself? Why nobody asks? The relative.
because the devas, they don't have physical form on the sana. So they have to appear in front of the Buddha. Not all devas can appear in front of the Buddha, do you know that? Then not all deva has the ability to create magic or food and offer. You must have that parami and that condition. So availing themselves of this golden opportunity, the two delighted merchants went to the exalted one and respectfully saluting him. See, by paying respect, the field of merit is already immeasurable. Implore him to accept their humble alms so that it may resound to their happiness and well-being. Then it occurred to the exalted one, the Tathagata do not accept food with their hands. How shall I accept this flour and honeycomb? This is another thing that you will be very surprised, I tell you. When you have this special awakening, or when you are already transformed, when you have this very beautiful mind, somehow your thought, whenever it arises, a lot of these beings up there, especially the devas who are cultivated, they can read on, they know on, that they will condition the human being down here to do it for you. Or sometimes they condition things to arise on. Sometimes they can even help you. That's why you are like very blessed, very protected and guided and other things. And Dhamma protector do a lot of this thing. So in this case also same. You know what happened or not? When the Tathagata, which is Sakyamuni Buddha, he just reflected, how shall I accept this flour and honeycomb? Yeah, he cannot use his hand. Yeah, it is their lineage, their tradition to have an alms bowl. For with the four great kings, you know who are these four great kings or not? Say Tai Chi Wong, Chakubang Raja. The four great kings, look at note one. Chakku Maharajikas, the guardian devas of the four quarters, understood the thought of the exalted one with their mind, and from the four directions offer him four granite bowls. You know what is granite bowl or not? Just now Yun Chan didn't share this granite bowl. These four bowls amalgamated into one. So they joined together. Saying, O Lord, may the exalted one accept herewith this flour and honeycomb. The Buddha graciously accepted the timely gift with which he received the humble offering of the merchant, and he ate his food after his long fast. After the meal was over, the merchant prostrated themselves before the foot of the Buddha and said, we, O Lord, seek refuge in the Exalted One and the Dhamma. May the Exalted One treat us as lay disciples who have sought the refuge from today till death. See? People, marriage ceremony only say that. till death. But this merchant, they vow to hold until the form and mind separate. So these are the first two lay disciples that took refuge with the Buddha. Then next page. These were the first lay disciples of the Buddha who embraced Buddhism by seeking refuge in the Buddha, the Dhamma, reciting the twofold formula. That's why that time no Sangha, you understand? That's why take refuge in Buddha Dhamma first, because Sangha was not formed yet. That's why he called the twofold formula. Is it? I don't know. I also don't know. I haven't heard of that. I haven't heard of that. I cannot explain or answer you because I don't know. I really don't know. Chui was saying about the four-bowl thing. She, according to her, she heard something that the formation of temple when they were built is like this four-bowl, turn around in different direction. But not important. Never mind. I understand. You can go and find out if you like it. Yeah, but I look at temple, I don't think they are inverted bowl except stupa. Yeah, yeah. Except stupa. Stupa is inverted bowl. But apart from stupa, all the temple, they are not really inverted bowl. But never mind. You can go and find out. Okay, on the way to Benares to teach the Dhamma, on accepting the invitation to teach the Dhamma, the first thought that occurred to the Buddha before he embarked on his great mission was, to whom shall I teach the Dhamma first? Who will understand the Dhamma quickly? Well, there is Alara Kalamas, who is learned, clever, wise, and has for many years with little dust in his eyes. How if I were to teach the Dhamma to him first? He will understand the Dhamma quickly. Then a dainty appeared before the Buddha and said, Lord, Alara Kalama died a week ago. So the Deva told him, it's not his psychic, the Deva told him. Then with his supernormal vision, he perceived that it was so. He had checked. Then he confirmed the Deva's message. Then he thought of Udaka, Ramaputta. Instantly a Deva informed him that he died the evening before. With his supernormal vision, he perceived this to be so. Ultimately, the Buddha thought of the five energetic ascetic who attended on him during his struggle for enlightenment. With his supernormal vision, he perceived that they were residing in the deer park at Isipatana near Benares. So the Buddha stayed at Uruvela till such time as he was pleased to set out to Benares. The Buddha was traveling on the highway when between Gaya and the Bodhi tree beneath whose shade he attained enlightenment, a wandering ascetic, Upaka, saw him and addressed him thus, Extremely clear are your senses, friend. Pure and clean is your complexion. On account of whom has your renunciation been made, friend? Means he is asking Sakyamuni, who is your teacher? Whose doctrine do you profess? The Buddha replied, All have I overcome, all do I know. For all am I detached, all have I renounced. Wholly absorbed am I in the destruction of craving. Having comprehend all by myself, whom shall I call my teacher? No teacher have I. And equal to me, there is none. In the world, including gods, there is no rival to me. Indeed, an Arahant am I in this world. An unsurpassed teacher am I. Alone am I, the all-enlightened, cool and at peace am I. To establish the will of Dhamma, to the city of Kasi I go. In this blind world, I shall beat the drum of deathlessness. Oh, this is a very good saying, in the blind world, in this blind world, I shall beat the drum of, what is that word? Deathlessness. Means to overcome birth and death, to realize the deathless. Means you shall never die again or be reborn to die again. So this one is very interesting. Then friend, do you admit that you are an Arahant, a limitless conqueror? Query Upaka. When somebody query you like that, what does it show? Means he don't believe you, understand? Yeah, he's a skeptic, yes. Very good. Then the Buddha replied, like me are conquerors who have attained to the destruction of defilements. All the evil conditions have I conquered. Hence, Upaka, I am called a conqueror, replied the Buddha. It may be so, friend. Upaka curly, cutly remarked, and nodding his head, turned into a by road and depart. See? It's a pity that Sama Sambuddha in front of you, you know. You inquire, talk to him, and you just walk away because of your skeptic, your doubt. So like I used to advise you all, don't make aspiration to meet Maitreya. You better make aspiration to recognize him and follow him. Otherwise, like this merchant, meet, but never recognize. So this is really... this is really a person who is, I don't know how to say, what do you think of his karma? Yeah? maybe Yuchan is right, has got good karma to me. But the way I look at it is, he has made that aspiration, understand or not? It's like any cultivator who has the ego, understand or not? Very strong ego. But he really, really looked forward to meet up with the Sama Sambuddha. But the lack of understanding, that ego, over the years of cultivation, over the years of cultivation before he meet up with the Buddha, he never cultivate to lower his ego, understand or not? And he never cultivate to understand who is the Buddha or to have the ability to recognize who is the Buddha. That's the reason why his karma is not what you think. So sometimes you can make a lot of mistake if you don't have the true understanding of all this. You can make aspiration, no problem, no harm. But if you don't know how to develop the understanding to benefit from it, then no point. You can go and vow. You vow to follow the advice of the Buddha, to avoid all evil, do good, purify the mind, make aspiration by the power of merit, everything. But you never aspire to understand what constitutes evil. Then how to avoid all evil? And what constitutes goodness, kindness, wholesomeness? Then what are the real teaching of the Buddha with regards to meditation or purification of mind? That's why the cultivation of the Bodhisattva Way, that book, you better go back and read through it. Everything is there, how to make aspiration for you to have this understanding life after life, whenever you come. He even teach you how to make great affinity with all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. Then he even teach you how to invoke the power of merits for their guidance, blessing and protection. Then he even teach you how to ask for forgiveness to break away your coming offense and all those things. Then how to have right view with regards to law of karma, law of mind, law of dhamma. So that life after life, when you come, even if you choose to come or you have to come, this understanding is with you. And this is most important. Okay? Chui, now you can ask.
In chapter 4,
yeah,
Mimi and Zhong Lin was talking the dependent origination and everything starts with ignorance.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether this person is in that category where he forgot, like we all do. Most of us.
Yeah, this is very interesting.
It's all about? I'm trying to relate back to...
You are referring to that merchant who walked away.
Whether I can relate back to chapter 4.
Yeah, because he definitely haven't...
About ignorance.
No, he definitely haven't realized the enlightenment. Otherwise, he would not be in this state when he meet up with the Buddha. Understand?
And because he had expectations, maybe a Buddha shouldn't be walking around in the street like that. Shouldn't be, you know, carrying
it's
a
not
bowl
so much
or something
of
like that.
No, it's not so much of that. Yeah, he can see the Buddha has certain type of characteristic like he is very fair, very serene and radiant with the aura or something. He got this correctly understood. But what he failed to understand is his ego about people without teacher. Understand or not? Yeah, his first interesting question is, he asked the Buddha, who have you learned this from? Understand or not? And who is your teacher? And what doctrine does he teach? Then the Buddha been very frank, very honest, because he cannot lie. He just told him exactly what he went through. Understand or not? You cannot deny that the Buddha earlier on got two teachers, Alara and Udaka. Then when he said, I got no teacher, did he lie? He didn't lie. Because these two teachers couldn't taught him the Dhamma that lead to the awakening, the enlightenment. He has to strive on his own, and finally, through his own self-cultivation, he came to realize the Dhamma, the deathless Dhamma. And this is true for all Buddhas, Sammasambuddhas, because they will be the first to proclaim the Dhamma. That's how the sasana come about. So, when you develop cultivation, you must not allow your views to bind you. Your view means everybody must have a teacher. Otherwise, this person is not the real one, where he is very, very snobbish or proud of himself. So, all this, like the Buddha said, it defies logic. But this Dhamma is against the sphere of logic, you remember? So you cannot use your logical mind to induce. Do you understand? So when you fail to understand what is being described or expounded and shared with you because of your rigid mind, with your views and opinion of what an enlightened being should have or have not, then that will bind you. It's just like I used to share with you last time, remember? The non-enlightened one are trying to explain to you or tell the enlightened one how the enlightened one should live their life and behave. Do you see that point? Yeah, the non-enlightened one got a lot of views and opinion on how an enlightened one should live. You must not have craving. You must not have anger. It may be true. The words are true. But you fail to understand what is craving. And you think eating good food, enjoying life is craving. That's where they go wrong. Do you understand? They must not have anger. But they don't know what anger is. So when they see them raise the voice to reprimand somebody, he thought, cannot be. This person got anger. So if you fail to have the understanding through your own realization or awakening, then you use your conditioned mind to perceive and logic to reason, you will go wrong. Okay? So this is the part you have to bear in mind. Okay, then we move on. Then unperturbed by the first rebuff, the Buddha journeyed on from place to place and arrived in due course at the deer park in Benares. So this is where the five ascetic was. So this five ascetic, if I'm not wrong, you remember when he was born as a child, as a prince, there are five wise men that came and pay a visit and talk to the king. Sakyamuni, father, Suddhodana, the king. All the four, first four, predicted he is either a universal monarch or a great universal teacher. Except Kondanya. Kondanya being the youngest, also one of the five wise ones. He was the only one who said, definitely, he is going to be a world teacher.
Oh. So this is the part I think is not mentioned there, yeah, in the this part of the text. Then we will stop here so that we can continue next Tuesday. Yeah? We got about another 5 minutes to go there, so that you can choose your next, yeah? Next Tuesday. Who do you want to choose, Yun Chan? We give you the honor, yeah? Appoint. Ah, Sadhu Pamasuri. Very good, yeah, Sadhu. You don't have to memorize everything. Huh? You can use the text and read, then explain it. That will be easier, and it will make your work easier. Then for people who already have the problem of memory, you can actually prepare your own notes, like what Mimin did. Then you can present. You can vary it in whatever manner, and it can really bring forth the condition for you to understand the Buddha Dhamma deeper. Because through all this cultivation, then you learn how to express it. You remember Mimi said one very important word? If you want to walk this way, the Bodhisattva way, you have to penetrate all Dhamma, and you have to learn the skill to share, to teach. Otherwise, this way is not easy. So, through all this sharing, you will start to understand the form and mind. You will start to understand your fear of not remembering. It's very good, I tell you. Because during the early days, when I was going through the cultivation, after I graduated from MU, the year 1979, then I remember during that year, my wife, they also remember. I think Yun Chan also remember. Because BGS started first. They call it the what? Dhamma Ling. Yeah? How many of you heard of this Dhamma Ling? Yeah? Where they have this group discussion on. Then every week, they also appoint somebody. Yeah. Then we used to sit in a circle. Then you will have your turn to share. Yeah. That time, I was still cultivating. So like what I asked you all to come out and do, we were going through this book also, I remember. Yeah. Then I like this book because that time I saw a lot of beautiful Dhamma there. Then when it was my turn, I remember, I prepare the notes, everything, and I prepare myself. Oh, finish already. Luckily we appointed someone already. The alarm started. So when I went out to share, I was so surprised, because maybe it was from my working experience. I can actually, in a meeting, I no need to prepare anything. From the minutes I read, I can answer you. Then I can express it out and all those things. So I actually did it very well. But that time, I still need the notes, because you're scared you cannot remember, you need to refer to the notes, understand? But that time, I was still cultivating. Yeah. Then, I find it, the memory part interfere with my explanation. Every time the brain try to remember what you read in the book, and you try to repeat the beautiful words that is in the book. Then you're scared you cannot remember. That's why you need the text. You need the notes and all those things. Then later on, after I developed the cultivation, then I realized all this is what the mundane mind do, understand? Knowledge and all those things. When you have the Dhamma, you cannot do things that way. But don't get it wrong. I'm not trying to ask you all to all try to act like you already have the Dhamma and don't want to read and just like that, share. No, please. You have to go through this phase, which is very good. Yeah. Then later on, I also came to realize something. Yeah. As we discuss, off and on, there will be one or two very strong view one. You realize that. But you got a group of 20, there will be one or two or very argumentative one. With a lot of views. Then, of course, being Buddhist, even
if you want to argue, they also know how to turn down and so on, but they take it as like a joke. But they purposely want to poke at you with the question and other things. Then like they challenge you, you know, and they tell you, oh no, I don't think it's like that. I think the Buddha's teaching is like that. So that was very interesting. Then you know what happened. Because at that time, I have a lot of understanding, but not the penetrative one. I can understand Dhamma very fast, but at that time, because not connected. So it's more towards the understanding, but not penetrative one. So you know you can understand and you can explain, but people refuse to listen. No? So what happened? So initially, I realized this Sankara, after that day sharing, of course it end well. Then this Sankara still move in the brain here. No? Then even after I drove home, at home, that one still moving. No? Still telling me, no. You could have explained this way, maybe they can understand. No. Then you prepare yourself. So next time you explain this way, no, again, they refuse to understand and accept you. So all this will happen when your mind is not ready. Because this is what the Buddha called attachment, craving, clinging. You're wanting to be right. Understand? Wanting to explain all these things. Thinking that this is doing good, helping people. Then later on, after many years later of cultivation, then in the year 1989, how many years? 10 years later. But the actual condition came in 1986, when Kuan Yin Bodhisattva came with the Triple Gem and the message, telling this nature to move fast, not much time left. So from 86 to 89, that 3 years, everything happened. The book come, the guide come, the teacher come, everything come. So that's how cultivation can happen. So during the early years, before you connect or have the true awakening, you should actually learn to see your mind, how you function. Well, that time I remember, I can recall all this. How the Sankara move. Then not until I contemplated and reflected until I think I know what to do. And then only the Sankara stop. But the next morning when you wake up, the memory will come. Then you feel that you have to write down as a note form. So that because every week, 7 days later, you can read up and go there like well prepared. But later on, after you have the understanding, you realize you don't need to do all this. The moment you are awakened, you understand, the Dhamma is already there. Never disappear, I tell you. It's not in memory. It's an understanding. It's within your nature, connected. You know means you know. You will know how to act. That's how all this understanding came about after the transformation happened. And when I want to share all this, I realize that time I cannot. If I share, everybody will run away, I tell you. Do you understand why I say that? Because cannot hold in memory one. Ask you to study for exam, you don't put in memory, you go into the exam hall, I tell you, you should fail one. Understand? Unless you really very good, then no need to study. You can do well because everything very, very familiar already. You are very used to it already. The understanding, everything is there. And what you have gone through is the complete opposite of what the living being will do. So when you share all this, people will think something is wrong. Book also never say, monk also never talk about. Where did you learn all this?
And when you say, I got no teacher, I never learned from anybody, then like this merchant, he looked at the Buddha, he said, wow, very egoic. And the worst is, you are nobody, you are nothing, because you are just a lay person. You don't even have a robe or a title or anything. So that was the condition that many cultivator or lay practitioner has to understand. Then later on he understand that all these things gone, no more. Then argument all also gone, no. And what you do is you just echo and flow. No? Got condition, you share. No condition, you also allow. You say, oh, it's okay. Yeah, I think you are right. Right according to him or her. Understand? You never lie. So all this come about through understanding that evolve later on. But before you connect and develop the wisdom, you always use the rational thinking mind, the mundane mind, the conditioned mind. And that is the one full of logic, full of knowledge. Yeah. That's why the real one is completely opposite. And the Buddha make it very clear. It's beyond the sphere of what? Sphere of logic. Knowledge and logic. So at least the Buddha mentioned it. Otherwise, I keep on repeating. Whatever that is logical may not be the truth. You find it so difficult to accept. What you mean? Truth means truth lah. Truth means logic lah. If truth is not logic, then what is truth? But you will be surprised. Truth is never logic. Where logic is pertaining to the mundane, to the world. Logical mind means mundane mind, thinking mind. Wisdom is awakening, nothing to do with the thought, nothing to do with the mundane mind. It's via the direct seeing, the awakening. Okay, we better end. So let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. We'll do the sharing of merits, starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakkantu lokasasana itta watta camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patia sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Sakyamuni Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and all the other worthy ones.
Kusumai, kusumai, wa.
Dear brother and sister, just a short announcement. This Sunday, 11:30, I have the honor to invite Brother Teo and Mrs. Teo to my house for conducting house dana. So we'd like to invite you all to come over to participate. Let's start.